And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the 19th day of February in the year of our Lord 2022. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Good morning, Rick.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry, it appears Netflix search has been hacked. Yes, good morning. Here we go again. It's just another day in
paradise,
in the kingdom. yeah. Well, it's I have a buddy who's a priest who suggests this could be purgatory. But the good news is, if you're in purgatory, you're not in hell, and if you're not in hell, you're heaven bound. And so that could be good news.
Oh yeah, good.
It's supposed to be. Supposed to be 60 tomorrow. It's only going to be like 31 today, so we still got ice and snow from the ice storm earlier this week, I guess Wednesday night. What else is going on? Anything?
Oh, boy. If we're talking globally, everything's going on.
Go right ahead.
The thing is, there's nothing that you and I can do about 90% of it. And, you know, in the Ukraine right now, I was just watching a live report where this reporter was hamming it up for Fox because there was incoming incoming 155 type artillery. Yeah, and that does have a tendency to mess up your day. Yeah, but this young kid, he was, in my opinion, either he's very afraid of dying or he was hamming it up for the camera. I don't know which. But they're all running down this gravel road and shells are bursting behind them, and all of a sudden one comes near them and everybody hits the deck. Well, if you can hear it, there ain't no reason to hit the deck. Just keep going. But, like people ducking for thunder, why? The sound ain't going to get you. It's what caused the sound. But anyway, yeah, things are heating up over there. There's nothing any of us can do about it. But it's good to be aware of it. Is Putin going to invade? It's looking more and more like it every day. I don't know. You know, who knows? I do know that the Russian Duma this week declared that Luhansk and Donetsk Oblast, which are equivalent to our states, they recognized them as independent republics, which legally gives them the means to go help them upon invitation. And they gave 780,000 people Russian citizenship and passports in those two states. So I don't know what's going to happen. My personal bet is it's going to be the little green men thing like happened in Crimea in 2014. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But who knows? I got a lot of opinions, but I'm going to keep them to myself on that. Up in Canada, the trucker's convoy has come to an end. Lots of people arrested. They're towing all the trucks that haven't moved yet. And, of course, they're going to keep them. I don't know how they're going to dispose of them, but the things I've been hearing and reading from Canada is basically saying if your truck is towed, it belongs to the Canadian government now. And they're doing things with people's bank accounts and with their cryptocurrency wallets and stuff like that. So things are getting interesting in Canada, too. I don't think the government will ultimately win. There's a lot more normal people than there are government employees, so we'll see what's happening there. So now I guess we can get into whatever you want to, Rick.
Well, with respect to the Canadian seizure, illegal seizure of assets under their so-called emergency terrorist rules. You know, anybody who speaks up and wants freedom is just a terrorist.
Right.
This week, Justin Trudeau called. There's a gal in I guess in her Congress or whatever you call it, Parliament, who happens to be Jewish, and he basically got up to defend himself and said, you know, that we're for freedom, and anybody who voices an opinion stands with people who wear swastikas. And he didn't, I suppose, know this gal was Jewish, and boy, did that... She had demanded an apology, and he turned and ran out of the Parliament Assembly, whatever you call their dog and pony show that was supposed to have been a legal assembly, that sham. But with respect to seizing the assets of truckers and those who tried to donate to them, there was a period a few days ago where all five major Canadian banks went offline all at once. Scotiabank and Royal Bank, RBC, Royal Bank of, I guess, Canada, and the three other next largest banks all went offline. And of course, the opinion, the inference, was that people took one look at, you know, what Canada was doing, seizing assets, and said, well, you're not getting mine, and they started trying to take their money out of the bank, and either customers collapsed the system, or what is just as likely is that the government and or the banks said, you're not getting your money back, and they turned it off. So,
what I heard, Rick, said was that the bank shut it down to prevent a bank run.
Well, it was a bank run. Yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It was a bank run.
But I mean, so letting the bank run continue.
Oh, well, I mean, are you telling me that after a couple days you forget, you forget that all your hard-earned money is still at risk and you're somehow okay with it come Monday? I just can't picture that. As a matter of fact, can tell you, I and people I know...
We're talking about people that don't... I was just going to say, we're talking about people that don't live in our reality. You know, super rich, the politicians, have their own reality. They don't think like we do.
Oh, no.
They think we're stupid cattle.
Well, yeah, I totally get that. But what can I say? You set a theater full of people on fire, and you think locking the door on the theater and keeping them from running out is going to calm them down? I can't imagine anybody looking at the situation in Canada, a Canadian, looking at this situation and calming down. Being locked out of your own bank account, in my opinion, which should exacerbate the situation. If nothing else, it should make you vindictive, irritated and vindictive. I don't know that that's going to stop a bank run. There are opinions that this nonsense, these runs, will become more global. They will catch fire. I don't know if that's true, there have been a lot of very well-placed, intelligent individuals who have been saying for a very long time that you've got a bail-in coming, and they're going to take your money and they're not going to look back. And
well, I know that there are a bunch of... Well, that's already happened, Rick.
Well, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I mean, you say it can't happen here, but that's ridiculous. We all know, well, we're supposed to know, that in the last year of Obama's presidency, if you call it that, he signed that, what, banking for all or whatever it was, that the law that says yeah. when you put money in the bank, it's theirs, not yours. Well, okay,
that's
I don't
right.
want to go over that again, but what do you think that means? That means it's not yours. That means they can do whatever they want with it, and because they never did before, you think it never will happen, and I don't understand the childishness of that logic is absolutely arrogant. They'll do exactly as they damn well please, just like they do everywhere else, so get that out of your head right away. There is a guy.
I agree.
Gerald Celente, I believe. He is a big deal. He's a big noise in the financial sectors. He's been writing the Trends Journal for a very long time. He has no money in the bank. He puts all of his savings into 90% silver, and as Tim and I suggested before the show, a couple of million dollars of silver does not look like a couple of million dollars of $100 bills.
No.
If those two things are going to weigh differently, and they're going to store differently. But you know, Gerald Celente is not about to let the bank seize his assets and just walk off. I think, you know, I put it in the same category, you know, where, what, 5-6 years ago, Bill Gates did a video and said that he's going to reduce the world population through vaccinations. Now, mysteriously, the man's got a shot for you, and he warned you. He warned you he was going to do this, and now he's doing it. When you make a law that says if you put money in the bank, it's theirs, you know, can't you add, two and two is going to be two and two forever. So, anyway,
yeah,
we could.
No matter how woke the school systems are.
What's that?
I said no matter how woke the school systems are, you remember math is racist.
Oh, I know that. We all know that. Everything is racist. As a matter of fact, probably parking a truck on a bridge is racist if you don't want your vax. So,
oh, by the way, so, Rick, let me throw one thing out real quick. I was reading last night that our own CDC has admitted a huge increase in people's deaths from the ages of 18 to 49, and the insurance companies are saying it's from 18 to 65, unexplained 40% increase in deaths. Now, the insurance companies pin it on the vaccines. The CDC says we don't know why. So that's just a little factoid I thought you might like to know.
I do like to know that. The Center for Disease Creation doesn't want to take responsibility for genocide. I get that. It can be expensive. I get that. I totally get that. There was something I wanted to mention last show, and I didn't do it. And then right away we'll get into gardening, but whether you do something immoral by accident or whether it's intentional, and there's a difference in the Catholic Church, we're going to call one of them a venial sin, and the other a mortal sin. There is a difference, but there is one thing that remains the same, and that any time that you have a break in your relationship with God, there's going to be two kinds of consequences. One is natural, and the other is supernatural. So, you know, let's pick the first thing off my head. you go out on Friday night with the boys, you get snot slinging drunk, and you come home and you say some stuff to your wife you shouldn't say. Okay? There are two things that are going to happen the next day. There are two things that will happen. There are going to be the natural consequences where now in the clear light of day, like they say, the sins committed drunk will be paid for when sober. Now you're going to be apologizing, and you're going to be remorseful. You're going to feel bad about yourself. Your wife's not happy, and all that. And by the way, the next time you try to go out with the guys, guess what? But
it ain't going to happen.
Well, there's going to be an argument again. So, and you got it coming too. And but the supernatural part is you've committed a sin. You by over drinking, you have blocked out the Holy Spirit, and in blocking out the Holy Spirit, you have lost the ability to hear that cute little voice in your head that tells you not to do stupid things. Okay, so when I see intentional genocide, when I see evil governments like the Canadian government swiping people's life savings, these are basically amoral people. They're immoral and immoral. They have no idea what they're doing. They're so damn locked up in their own goofy little bubble. But they will pay the cost. So there you are. Eventually, somebody's going to try to kill Trudeau if they haven't already. And those are the natural consequences of doing these things. Supernatural consequences are going to be for Bill Gates after his death. He's going to have to answer for all this crap he's done, all the deaths he's caused. So, you know, I wanted to mention that interesting little fact is that, you know, anytime you fracture your relationship with God, there are consequences, which is, you know, not that I'm not going to take this any further, but this is exactly why the sacrament of, well, they used to call it confession, but reconciliation to reconcile, you know, to get the opportunity to apologize for what you've done and amend is super duper important for your well-being and for your soul, because if you do something and you never get the impression that you paid it, you paid up, you never get the impression that you've made amends with God, that kind of cancer eats at your spirit, and it will freeze you in your place, and it will keep you from progressing. You will literally cease to thrive in many ways. You will no longer be moving forward in your spiritual conquest. You'll just kind of freeze like a deer in the headlights. You've got, humans need a way to say they're sorry. They need to be released from that responsibility. They need to pay what they owe. And then at that point, you're going to feel light as a feather, and you get to move forward. So anyway, I can see that people like a Klaus Schwab and Justin Trudeau, his monkey, and these other people like Bill Gates, there will be a day when they're going to, I would love to see what's going to happen, but, I don't really want a spanking today from my wife. So anyway, there you go. Try not to commit sins if you can manage it. You just don't want to pay that bill.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we're going to get caught with the break, I think. But last week...
Yeah, we are here in just a minute.
Yeah, well, let me tease it then. I was talking about Mittleider and No Dig, and I was poking fun at what people probably might have thought was the No Dig process, which was not true. I was actually poking fun at the no-dig Nazis because of their overall mental approach, and that is that we've got these rules you can never break, and if you do, you may as well put a for sale sign in your yard and get out because you've destroyed everything. And yeah, I was making fun of them and that rigid, non-productive mindset. But the fact of the matter is that all of my beds, I have been for the last 2 or 3 years rotating over to no dig, but I will not submit to a rigid set of rules that says, you know, if you've got a kale plant, you can't pull it up. You have to cut it off at ground level. And there are exceptions to, I will take some exceptions with the process. I will use three quarters of it for sure, because I think that it is intelligent. But I also think the Mittleiter process is intelligent, and it is my intention to combine the two to see if I can produce, how can I put this, to produce results that would be the best of no dig and the best of Mittleiter. So, you know, I wanted to clear that up. I am a proponent of no dig, but I am also a proponent of Mittleiter. For those of you, which is probably almost nobody, that watched that little video on the Mittleiter gardening course part 3, you would have seen, and you still should watch it, what happens, the difference between master gardening in an organic no-dig bed and the Mittleiter bed, and the results, the difference in the results, are mind-boggling. And, you know, I just kind of think that I just don't know why you would not give it a whack. But we'll get into that in a while. I do have the formulas for you, which you can find on
YouTube. Well, Rick, I guess we're not having a break, so go ahead with whatever you want.
Yeah, I just looked at the phone there. I guess we're not. So if you looked at part 3, you would have seen, and you still should look at it, because you need to see this. It's only like 15 minutes long, but it is, in my opinion, some of the most illuminating information that I have ever seen. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love watching Hollis and Nancy, and I love watching Travis Key from Lazy Dog Farm, and I like watching his dad at Haas Tools. I love those videos. I try to start the day either with gardening or something spiritually based. I avoid insanity, like a financial collapse. I don't, too early in the morning for that.
Right.
I like to start my day with something more creative. And so, but that 15 minutes with David, the LDS prepper, is absolutely eye-opening. And I have the formulas here for you. I looked them up. I made sure that I had them on my notes here. and like I said, I really do still think you should go back and look at that video because, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. His little video, it pretty much describes, I mean, he really does an excellent job of laying out his argument. It pretty much says it all. But as an example in there, you would see, and I'm sure I mentioned this, the difference between his wife's beet, and which unfortunately looks like one of my beets, and I haven't grown an intelligent beet in 3 or 4 years, and I've got something to say about that too. And the beet he grew in a brand new bed. They look nothing alike. Hers look like a radish. His look like a cue ball, a big, juicy red cue ball. And
right.
I guess that would be like a number, what, number three ball? I don't know.
I think so. And I used to own a pool hall, and I don't remember.
I think that is to your credit. My point is, I would like to grow beets like that. I would like to grow beets like David's beets, not like the beets I'm growing. So if we're not going to have a break, let me say this. So this is what I've got. So my beds are no dig. Okay, they're basically comprised of organic material. They're comprised
right.
of compost and sand, chicken litter that has come from the coop, stuff like that. It's just all organics. And so David was just using sand and sawdust, which would have had no nutritional value at all. So in a way, you would expect that if I started with a nice garden bed, a decent gardening bed, a no-dig garden bed, and utilize the mid-liter technique, I should do at least as well as he did. And we're going to find out. And because I pretended to do it before I said this, I know. But I didn't really keep up with it. I did not get the results that I should have got because I was not as disciplined as I should have been. So you've got a bed, or you've got a number of beds. And so what you're going to do when it comes time to plant, now in my particular case, I will probably overlay the bed with a little bit of compost, or in my case, alfalfa pellets, and then I will add to that the pre-plant mix. You've got pre-plant mixes, you've got the pre-plant mix, and you've got the weekly feed. The
right.
pre-plant mix consists of this, and you can get this off YouTube real easily. It is 20 pounds of calcium, so it would be either in the form of gypsum or lime, either one. To that you would add 4 ounces of Boraxo, the soap, and
yeah.
a pound of Epsom salt. And you mix that all together, and you would apply that at a rate of 2 pounds for every 30 feet of bed. Now, the bed, we are talking about standard 30-inch beds. That's what we're talking about. That would be a standard market garden bed is 30 inches. And I've said it before, there's a reason for that, is that you can straddle them, you can work them. Most of the equipment made for market gardening is made for a 30-inch bed, and we'll get right back to that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. We'll start taking calls at the top of the hour. Stand by, please.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Rural Survival Show with Rick Schmidt and Tim Spencer right here on RBN. Today is Saturday, the 19th day of February. Real quick shout out to our sponsors. Want to start out with Extendivite. You just heard a commercial for it. They're having a heck of a sale during the entire month of February. All you got to do is go to ruralsurvival.life, that's ruralsurvival.life, and click on the banner there, and it'll take you to where you need to go to buy it. And our other sponsor is Water Revolution. They offer a countertop water filter that allows you to take about any water from any source and turn it into clean water. Now, guys, you really need to check this out. If we have a major power outage or something like that, most of you cannot get water without electricity. We're lucky here on the farm. We've got a little seep or spring, whatever you want to call it, and we won't even have to do much filtering of the water before putting it into this Water Revolution thing we got. So, guys, you might want to look at this. It could very likely save your life. You can go 3 days without water at the most, 3 weeks without food, and about 3 minutes max without air to breathe. So water has come somewhat important. Okay, Rick, let's get back into garden. We've got a long segment here. Let's get our hands dirty.
Yeah, so you're going to apply the pre-plant mix at a rate of 2 pounds per 30-foot bed. And you're going to do that every single time that you rotate a crop out. So, you know, so you put in, you know, beets. You're talking about, let's say 55, well, 2 months, for the date to maturity. Now, when you pull those beads, and I've said this before, you are supposed to have another crop in flats ready to go in. And when
right.
you rotate, when you flip that bed, you will reapply the pre-plant mix. So every single time you pull a crop and put in a new one, that pre-plant goes down. And then at that time, and on that day, you can also give those plants their very first feeding of weekly feed. And I would suggest that you do as I say, don't do like I do. Pick a day, a time in a day of the week that won't be interfered with by, and do not pick the time when you go to church. Pick some other time. No excuses. You can get both done. Pick a time that's going to work for you and stick to it. And at that point, you're going to be applying 0.5 pound. I think it's 7 ounces. 7 ounces for every 30 feet of bed. So you're really of the weekly feed. The weekly feed is a little bit different animal. You are going to use a 15-pound bag of balanced fertilizer, and it can be anything from 13-13-13 all the way up to 17-17-17. You don't want to go lower. You don't want to go 10-10-10. And you don't want to start getting up into any wild numbers in the really high teens. One just has too little of everything, and the other has way too much. So you need to be between
right.
13 and 17. Those fertilizers are readily available at most farm and homes. You won't, that I know of, you won't find them at Lowe's. They like to sell you designer nonsense that has nothing to do with reality, and charge you gigantic amounts of money. I don't recommend you do that. Go to a place that actually sells bags of fertilizer. And it's up. It's up this year. It's up about, what is it? It's up about, say, 20. It's up like 50%. Okay.
Fertilizer, yeah, it is.
Bags of fertilizer up like about 50% this year. But you don't need much. I mean, the idea here would be, according to the normal math, depending on what you've got for a garden, one mixing of the weekly feed will supply a normal family garden for 1 year, for one growing season. So, and that mix is going to be this. You're going to use a 50-pound bag of one of these balanced fertilizers. You will have to get, now this is something you're going to have to lay your hands on, a bag of the Mitleiter Magic Micro Mix. Okay, now that's going to come from the Food for Everyone Foundation, or you can get it from David's website called the LDS Prepper, no, yeah, LDSprepperstore.com, and he also sells those. You can get one of those packages. It actually comes as two packages. You're going to use them both for 50 pounds. If you're mixing in 25-pound batches, you would use one bag. If you're going to use the whole bag of fertilizer, all 50 pounds, you need to dump both little bags. Your little bags are as big as a bag of hot chocolate mix. Yeah, they're not big. It's just a little packet. And then you're going to need 4 pounds. 8 pounds. 2 4-pound boxes of Epsom salt. So it's going to be the three things. The balanced fertilizer, the micro mix, and the Epsom salt. And that is going to be your weekly feed. What is suggested that you do is you're going to keep this in a 5-gallon bucket. And here's something you need to know, and you've probably seen this before, is that a bag of fertilizer left open will attract moisture out of the air like
nobody's business. Oh, boy. You ain't kidding. It acts like a desiccant.
Yeah, the salts in there will suck moisture out of the air, especially when it's humid in the summertime, and you will wind up with a sloppy mess. Yes, you can still use it. It doesn't hurt anything, but it sure makes using it a little more difficult. So what I suggest you do is fit your bucket with a Gamma Seal lid. A Gamma Seal lid is that one that you pound onto the bucket, but then the center unscrews, and it's got a big rubber gasket. They're not perfect, but boy, do they help. If you live in a more humid climate, and that's really not cutting it for you, what you can do is add a pound of perlite to that, and that will keep the whole batch kind of workable. So what is suggested is that you get a little scale, like a kitchen scale, put a cup, a plastic cup, whatever it is, on the scale, zero it out, and then put in 15 ounces of weekly feed, and then put a Sharpie line on the cup, and then you'll know, every time you dip in, exactly, that's going to be for 30 feet. So if you want to put other lines on there, you could put, if your bed's 10 feet long, put a mark down there for 10, something like that. It's your cup. But then on the same day every week, you will take that amount of feed and you will spread it along at the root zone, spread it along the base of these plants. And I highly suggest that you kind of scratch that in a little bit. Leaving that on the surface invites a couple of problems. One is going to be that a heavy rain can wash it all away. The other thing that it can do is if it's in such a concentrated form at that point that if it splashes up on the leaves, it can and will burn your leaves.
Burn
the other thing you don't want it, yeah, and this is important, do not pour that stuff directly on the plant, especially if it's the kind of plant that has upward branching leaves like lettuce, kale, anything like that. If that gets down in those crevices, it will eat your plant alive. So use a little bit of caution as you spread the fertilizer along the side of the plant. You're best off to put it out to the side a little bit and then take a cultivator and just kind of pull it up to the plant. And so what you're doing there is you're not only mixing it with the dirt and burying it at the same time, you're keeping it away from the plant. So put it 6 inches from the plant and then pull it up in there with a cultivator. That would be the way that you would handle that. As I said last week, I think it would be hilarious if a couple people tried this year, and I think it was Dr. Joe called a couple of years ago with glowing reviews. So he said he tried it, and he must have been more disciplined than I. And he had, I hate to misquote the man, but I think he said he had the best garden that he had in years. And that wouldn't surprise me. So I need to be more organized, more disciplined, not keep putting this off, saying I'll do it tomorrow. Then it turns into a bi-monthly feed. That's just not going to get it. This is statistically and mathematically just about the cheapest way you can possibly garden. It's very cost-effective, not expensive. It's cheap. And as is mentioned in more than one MitLighter Garden Course video, if you buy, if you've got an average garden and you buy 5 bags of fertilizer and 5 of these magic micro mix, some Epsom salt, put it aside. It doesn't take up a lot of room. You'll have enough food for your garden for about 5 years. You cannot store 5 years of compost or common manure. You can't do it. It takes up too much room, and it just disintegrates. It deteriorates. It's kind of like making bread when you make compost. It does have to be. There is a window of usefulness on that stuff. Most people that make compost have a kind of a continual process they're going through, and we'll not get into that today. That is it's a worthwhile but fairly complicated process.
I agree.
In certain ways, it is. You've got to have certain amounts of greens, certain amount of brown, like cardboard and other things, and you got to kind of constantly kind of mix it and, you know, aerate it and all this, and it turns into a kind of a big deal. If you've got a lot of garden waste, you should be doing it, but I don't, and so it wouldn't be an endeavor that would really be of any real use to me. However, if we have a magnificent destruction of the food supply chain and my garden grows by 5 times, I will have significant garden waste. and at that point, we will have absolutely no choice but to begin composting to whatever effect that would be.
Right.
I don't believe that I talked about this with Tim this morning, but not last week, is that the when you are growing in a no-dig organic type environment, the success of each crop depends on what sort of a feeder it is. Some of these crops are really heavy feeders, notoriously heavy feeders like corn and onions.
Right.
Eat a lot of food. Eat a lot of food, and you can grow onions and corn in a no dig bed, but you're not going to get the kind of yields that you would get if you fed them. So I leave that math up to you. This is also, there are other variables. For example, this British guy, Charles Dowding, I like watching his videos. He is a quiet little fellow, and he grows organically and no dig, and he has never been able to scientifically prove you've got to rotate crops. But we can't get into all that now. But he grew potatoes in the same bed 4 years in a row. When his bed was new, he got 29 kilos of potatoes in the 30-foot bed. The next year, 44, and which I could have predicted that based on the decomposition of the organics. But the next year, 29, and then back up to 41. There's really nothing. Yeah, what are you going to make of this? It could have been weather conditions.
Right.
I think that we can understand that the garden, the compost is decomposing at a given rate. So I don't think there would be any change in the nutrient there. So it's got to be other factors. But you would think if the production was going to decline, it would just keep right on going. So to that point, I want to say this. As I said, my beet production over the last several years has been disappointing. And it has come to my attention that pH plays a huge role in how your crops uptake your food. So one of the very first things you need to do before the planting season is you need to either give a soil sample to your university extension or the MFA or somebody. Mine wants $20. I am going to give them a soil sample out of this bed where I've been planting beets and I'm just not getting anywhere. I highly suspect something's wrong. It's 18 inches of pure decomposed compost. There shouldn't be anything wrong in there at all, and yet there is. So I'm going to guess I've got a pH problem, and I'm going to find out this time scientifically. Although, if you don't want to pay the $20, you can go down to the garden center and get yourself a pH testing kit and use it. They're probably accurate enough. However, if you do pay the $20, they're going to tell you a lot more than just pH. They're going to give you like 20 parameters in your soil. They're going to tell you your nitrogen content, your phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, manganese. They're going to give you an actual chromatographic breakdown of what's in your dirt. And at that point, you're going to have a lot more information than just pH. You're going to have it all. And so,
right.
But I'm going to try this as an experiment, and I will be certain to let you know. I will tell you that the soil bag they give you that you buy, the soil bag you pick up, you need to follow the instructions because that bag looks like about a 1 pound coffee bag. And it needs to be filled to the line where they say, and it's you know that's a fair amount of dirt. You don't just give them a tablespoon of dirt. You got to give them kind of a bunch. And what you got to do is you got to take a slice of your soil going down like 8-10 inches, and you don't just scrape it off the surface. That doesn't do any good. You need an actual core sample. Okay, they want a core. So,
and they want it from different places, too. At least around here, what they tell you is, on your farm, take it from 5 or 6 different places that are separated,
right.
Mix it all together in a 5-gallon bucket, and then fill the bag up to the line. And that way you know what you need for your pasture or whatever.
Right. Well, you can assume that the pasture will have some slight differences. For example, I've seen these soil tests on my 3 acres. In the high end of my property, the topsoil is only about 2 inches deep. If you go down to the lower end, it's more like 8 to 10 inches deep. And the reason is that because this was a cornfield for decades, and so with constant tillage and erosion, the topsoil was moving from the high spot to the low spot. So, there's going to be differences in a pasture. If you're talking about garden beds, you would almost have to, unless they're all absolutely equal, you'd almost have to turn in more than one sample marking them as to where you got them. But they email you, this is cool too, They email the results back. They don't give you your dirt back. They will. You'll have a place on there for your email address, and they will email you the results in a form, and that's cool. But I will find out. I hope, what exactly is going wrong with my situation. With respect to my. What you say, my large pots, my large growing pots, my big ones, my 20-gallon tubs where I tend to grow things like peppers and tomatoes and plants that don't mind being in an above-ground situation. And as I mentioned before, particularly the patio tomatoes seem to really enjoy that. But there is a fascinating video out there. And this is a tour with a professional potting mix man, and he explains there's quite a science behind this. you would think that they just take a bunch of junk, grind it up, and give it back to you. That is far from the case. They are using things like, in percentages, certain percentages, shredded wood, shredded coconut coir, and other products that they buy, which are essentially shredded pine from the furniture industry. But what happens with that is all those things, before they use them, they have to be pH tested, and they generally have to be washed a couple times to get like the pine oil out, and somehow in the case of coconut coir, it comes salty, so they can't use it just as it comes. Otherwise, you'll have an absolute mess on your hands. Your pHs will be all screwed up, and when that happens, you have what's called an iron lockout, and the iron lockout prevents a plant from eating. So they have to make sure that their potting mix is basically pH neutral and sterile. So I made some boo-boos last year with my big pots. I tried to go cheap with the potting mix, and I did okay, but I sure could have done better, and we will have to correct that problem this year. For those of you that enjoy, what should I say, the kind of content that we talk about here, which is, let's say, it's gardening with a geopolitical spin, and we'll get into this after the top of the hour if we have a moment. We have more bird flu bullshit. They're trying that one again. They're going to try to kill all the chickens yet again. And they have a big, what should I say? They're regulations. They're going to roll out some regulations to harm the truckers.
Oh, yeah.
And delivery. They want zero emissions on the big trucks. So what they're going to do is try to shut down more truckers. And, you know, if you add all this up, it looks like they're basically going to try to crush the food supply. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to wind up kind of on your own there, I think, at some point.
I agree, Rick. So, well, when we come back from the break, I've got a question for you about seed starting mix. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. The call-in number is 512-248-8252.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.